So I just wanted to kindly ask you if you could say something how we can get access to the spiritual Vrindavan, spiritual Radhakund, to not see it only with material eyes, but with the spiritual eyes.
Devotee's asking a question, a very appropriate question, considering Kalidesa and Patra, the time, the place, and the persons involved. So we're here, everyone together here in the Sunday satsang. We're located in Brajadham, Vrindavan Dham, and this is Sri Radhakund Dham. And a very good question is asking, how do we see beyond the cover? How do we see behind the curtain? What's behind the curtain? What's outside? There's many things on the other side of the curtain, but we can't see unless we move the curtain. What we see with our material eyes is the material aspect of reality. But Vrindavan is a combination of oil and water. If you have a bucket of water and you put some oil inside, then they seem to be one, but they're one and different. This is our philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Achintya-bheda-abheda-tattva. The spiritual reality, the dynamic, eternal, absolute, spiritual, unchanging reality, is simultaneously one. Yes, it is one, but it's also different. In other words, yes, it's one, and yes, it's zero. So this becomes a paradox, because it becomes a construct which the mind cannot conceive, because this idea exceeds the boundaries of our logic and reason. Our logic and reason functions on the causal plane of cause and effect, beginning and end, big and small, day and night, birth and death. This is called cause. But when we go into transcendence and we go into spiritual dimension, then we go even beyond the reality of three dimensions. We enter the quantum space of quantum mechanics. We go beyond that abstract dimension of quantum mechanics, which even is a whole nother esoteric material science. Then we go into the transcendence, which is beyond the whole material energy. So it's quite far outside the curtain. So that curtain that's in front of us is twofold. One fold is that it's one curtain is a curtain of ignorance. We don't know what we're seeing. That's ignorance. What am I seeing? You go to some jungle somewhere where you've never seen a snake like this or never maybe seen a creature like this and say, what is that? Is that a horse or is it a cow or is it a deer or what? I don't know. Oh, that's a this. Oh, very strange looking thing. So we have to hear. We hear from the knowledgeable person so then we can discern and understand the objects of our vision. Because alone in front of our vision, we experience with the eyes, but our judgment and our decision and understanding of our perception is based on our conditioning and based on our accumulation of knowledge. So we have little knowledge, we have little vision. We can't see anything. We can't really see. But when you have deep knowledge of morality and of maryada and tradition and shastra and the material reality and spiritual reality, then you have a much broader perception, a much deeper understanding of the whole cosmic reality. That's where everywhere it says in the Shrutis and Upanishads, it says, Tamasimam Jyotir Gama. Gama means go to the Jyoti. Jyoti, go to the Jyoti. Jyoti means light. Tamasi means ignorance. Come out of ignorance. Go to the light. We're in the womb of our mother. It's tamasi. Tamasi means dark. We come out of that darkness and there's light all around us, and we close our eyes. Wah, it's too bright. And finally, we get the light. The light of the in our eyes shows us the world outside our body. And then we start to study, then we start to learn, and we get knowledge, and we get more light and more light and more understanding. Then we may go into transcendence. It's called enlightenment. So it's a daily, continuous process of light. Tamasima jyotir gama. Gama is a verb, means go to the light. I was in the womb. If I stay in the womb, it's like the Socrates cave dwellers or something. There's some story that everybody lived in a cave, a whole civilization. They lived inside a mountain in a cave. It's all dark and they're going around with lanterns. And someone said, where does this cave lead to? What's the end of this cave? No, this cave, you begin in darkness, you live in darkness, you die in darkness. And so one young chap, you know, he said, what? I mean, there's everyone's always going like this and going that way and with a lantern. What if we go that way? There's two. This cave has a direction that way, has two directions. The cave goes deeper into the mountain or goes to the mouth of the cave. And outside the mouth of the cave, it's a bright world. There's trees and rivers and birds and flies and all kinds of things. Amazing. So that's the adventuresome spirit. So the analogy, the cave is the cave of illusion. The cave is the cave of darkness. And the light is the light of truth. So the light of truth is in scripture. The light of truth is in scientific knowledge that gives truth to the mundane reality. But if we want to know the spiritual reality, what it is, we can't see unless we know what we're seeing. Think of that. That's why when you're a little kid, they give you a book and they have a picture of a cat and underneath it says C-A-T, you know, whatever your language is, you know, cat. Which, this thing with the ear, two ears going up like that. And the dog, dog has a tail like a little bigger. It's a dog. Dog. And then they turn the page, red thing like this, little tail thing sticking up. Apple. A-P-P. Oh, that's that red thing, apple. Oh, mommy has an apple. Apple, this is apple. So this is how we learn. We have to read, we have to get knowledge, then we think, we look, we consider on the basis of our experience, conditioning, and knowledge. Then we make a judgment. It's called sankalpa, vikalpa. Sankalpa, I accept. Vikalpa, I reject. And then I accept, yes. I studied, I said apple, and I looked. I have knowledge, and first I gain knowledge, then I look, and I see in my environment apple. And then I conclude apple. So you're asking a question, how to see the spiritual reality of the spirit of the holy Dhamma Vrindavan, whether it be Radhakund or Vrindavan or Nandagaon, Varsana, Giriraj. We have to study. What do the Shastras say? Vrindavan is the Janamstan. Vrindavan is the Leelastan. Vrindavan is Chintamani Bhumi. Vrindavan is a Prakriti. Vrindavan is transcendental. This dirt in Vrindavan, it's not... Srila Prabhupada was told in Hyderabad, by the way. In Hyderabad in 1976, possibly. There's a tape. He was there with Mamamsa Swami. Mamamsa Swami and Bhakti Chaitanya Swami, summarily Indian sannyasis of Prabhupada, they were preaching there in Hyderabad. You know, there's ISKCON in Hyderabad. 640-acre farm they got from somebody, then there was a big legal case, and I don't know, whatever. All had that happen, big thing. So Prabhupada went there, he liked very much, and they made a temple, something like Bombay, I heard. I never went. So in that place, Prabhupada said, someone said, what is this Vrindavan? What is so special about Vrindavan? In other words, how do you see the spiritual Vrindavan? So Srila Prabhupada, this is Srila Prabhupada, this is founder of the ISKCON movement. He took some dust, because there's always so much dust in India. I sweep now and a half hour later, oh my God, it's so dusty. You know, I'm paying a guy to clean my house and it's like this, I got to wash my hands, I touch my floor. There's only one guy living here and windows are all closed and then at the end of the day it's half inch. So he said, what is the difference? So maybe he was sitting outside, construction was a new temple or whatever. He said, what is the difference between this dirt and the dirt in Vrindavan? And everybody said, I don't know. He said, this is dirt. This, you can grow tomatoes, you can dig a hole, you can make a house, whatever, make bricks, a mix of dirt and clay and cement or whatever. But the dirt in Vrindavan, this is called Chintamani. 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 We say Chintamani. Chintamani. Money means gem, jewel, and chinta means thought, thought. So Prabhupada said, I can take this dust and I can say, oh, I want a mango. I'm thinking of a mango, I want a mango. And then I won't get anything mango from here. But if you go to Vrindavan and you pick up the dust, and whatever you, chinta means think, desire, whatever you want. Whatever you want, you just pick up this dust and say, oh Vrindavan, oh Brajaraj, oh dirt of Vrindavan, please bless me with love of God. Please bless me with prem. This is how Lord Shiva prayed when he came to Vrindavan. This is how Lord Brahma came when he prayed to Vrindavan. This is how Uddhava Mahashaya came when he prayed when he came to Vrindavan. This is how Lakshmi Devi herself came. Lakshmi Devi, the wife of Lord Narayan, Vishnu. She came to Vrindavan and she stayed in Lakshmivan. It's named after her. It's called Shrivan, Lakshmivan, or Baalvan. Baalvan means bilva. Bilva means there's a tree there, big tree. And it makes a fruit. It's, I think, more of a tropical type fruit. It's hard green shell, about this big, like a softball. They have it in America. They have baseball. They have softball. It's a big hit with a big bat. It's about this big, pretty big. And it's a hard green shell, like a nut, like an almond. It's hard. A walnut, you know, walnut shell, hard, very thick. And you crack it open, there's this orange pulp inside. And then you mix it with water and some camphor and some honey or whatever, and some black pepper, and it's very nice. It's like antifreeze. It's orange color. It's an orange drink, a natural drink, and it's very sweet and very, it's the main attribute, it's very good for the stomach. It cleanses all the intestines and only comes available in May. It comes from in India in May or so, for about 1 month. And that's exactly the time when you need to clean out all your system, so that, you know, be ready for the very hot season, because winter we eat so much, it's cold, then it gets so hot. I mean, it's 45 degrees here in the summer, and it's 5 degrees in the winter. 5 degrees at night. And then here in the summer, it's 30 at night. 30, 35 at night. 40 at night. 45 in the day. So, you have to, if you have to read about Vrindavan, in fact, there's a book out there you can take with you.
I just read
it. You saw?
I just read. I'm preparing for this privilege, yes.
Appreciating Vrindavan Dham. Okay. And there's also a book, Appreciating Radhakund.
Oh.
I'll give that to you now. And you can take it. I'll give that some gift to you. And or any books you like, you can take other books also, and both of you. No problem. You take anything. You want to give, you give. You don't want to give, you don't. But I'm giving. I'm giving. You take. And you benefit. That's my happiness. So without knowledge, what can you see? You're in science class, biology. Okay, look through the microscope. What do you see? Oh, God, what do I know? It's like this thing squiggling over here, and there's some little red thing here and some black thing here. I don't know what the hell it is. So now you look in this book. This is mitochondria. This is flagella. This is vacuole. This is a cell. Put a drop of water. Put your hair. Poink. Put your hand under. Wow, look at all those bugs over there. So many little buggies on my hair. I didn't even know. I've had time to get some shampoo on it. It's been a couple of months, you know. So how many things you're seeing? Many things. What are they? I don't know. I'm in the land of Krishna. They say, this is Vrindavan. I saw on the sign, welcome to the land of Krishna. Who's this Krishna? What is this land? This is Leela Bhumi, Vrindavan. So it's hard to see. So we hear, like what I'm saying, Prabhupada was faced with the same question. He said, this dust in Hyderabad, you can ask anything, you'll not get anything from it. Only your hands are dirty. You have to wash your hands. But here you pick up the dust, your hand becomes purified by taking dust. Brahma is praying to be a rock. Brahma prayed to Krishna, oh Krishna, I have these four heads, you know. I have these four heads. And now Narada Muni is going all over the universe, and he's saying that you're going to the earth planet, you're going to manifest there, descend there, and have your pastimes and leela, and help so many people. But I want to do some seva and want to serve your pastimes and be part. And Krishna said, why do you have no adhikara? You know? Adhikara means qualification. You don't have any qualification. No. So he's saying, but I have four heads. He said, all right, because many demigod devatas and higher beings and Krishna's family, they all came from the spiritual world. They came to hear the Vrindavan and had their pastimes. And they all took human form and all, many things. But Brahma, he's also like human being. Somehow he has four heads. A little hard to figure out, but it's described like he has four heads. And he's the manager. He's managing the universe. In the Hindu theology, they explain this personality in charge of the creation of the world, like on behalf of God. And so he said, I'll do any service. He said, all right, listen, your four heads can become four rocks. You can serve by becoming four rocks. And on those rocks, Radharani, she will have her pastimes. Radharani will live there. That's called Barsana. Barsana is four rocks. Rocks means many rocks, and many rocks means one mountain. So there's four small mountains, Mangar, Vilasgar, Morkuti, like this, and then the Mandir, Dangar. So he did that seva. And Shiva is also praying. So this is just the very dust of Vrindavan is so inconceivable, and so many wonderful glories are written about the dust. So when you have some idea about the dust and about the places, then you say, oh, so much is here. So when you read about it, then you read and say, I can't see, I can't perceive. So then first you have to appreciate. By gaining knowledge of the Dham, the identity of the Dham and the experience of other people in the Dham and what the significance is of the holy Dham, the holy place of Vrindavan. You read about and hear all these things. And when you come and actually see and touch and see deities and you pray, oh, this is a very special place. One thing for sure, without any explanation of mine or anyone's, and of course there are exceptions to every rule, but generally I find that no matter what a person's belief is, or belief or no belief, or what path they're following or no path, when they come to Vrindavan, whoever they are, many kinds of people come to Vrindavan. I'm here for 30 years. I've met many varieties of people, Indians and Westerners, that are far, far light years away from any kind of Krishna bhakti. They're in their own world doing their own life. Practically everyone I've ever met, I asked them, I said, so what was your experience? Because you have your subjective view, your individual perception and understanding of what you saw and what you felt. I say, what's the totality? What's the final summation of what you experienced? They said, I don't know. It's aside from all the obvious things, the pigs and the dogs and the monkeys and dirt and all this, but and that anybody can say that because anybody has two eyes can see that everywhere. Unfortunately, that's too many people in too small space. Whatever, it's a cause for everything, but it's a fact. Today, at least, like that. And so they say, I don't know, but there's some kind of feeling there in the atmosphere. There's some kind of you people call it bhakti or. I don't know what it is, but I've been to Stonehenge, and I've been to Glastonbury, and I've been to all kinds of interesting energy centers around the world. And you know, people they travel, you know, the psychic people and yogis and different kinds of people interested in a higher upliftment and higher pursuit in life. There's famous places. I myself visited them before I came on this side, so I'm aware of some, and there are many. And down in South America. And in the Far East, and there are many places, high energy places, where spiritualists and other people have communicate with on different levels, with different levels of reality and different levels of beings. It's a very vast and complicated world, the world of transcendence and spirituality, how people going that direction. But everyone that comes here, it's amazing. It's some kind of atmosphere. I said, so what's your conclusion? Will you come back? Yeah, I want to come back. He said, I don't know what it is. I really don't know what it is. It's inexplicable. I mean, I can't put my finger on it, but I like it. I just, that's a feeling of it. I just feel it. I go in a temple here, dong, 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 and ding, dong, ding, dong, ding, dong, ding, dong, ding, dong, ding, dong, ding, dong. Because the Artik, they have usually many old traditional temples, they have two gongs. A gong is a big piece of bell metal, technically, maybe brass or if it's cheaper. A bell metal, and there's some kind of contraption like this that you say, like, upside down you. It's like this and like this. And hanging there, there's these two round gongs hanging on some string. And they're each a little bit different size. So when the Artik, when they're doing some puja and the Thakurji Krishna, the statues, you know, we call murtis, Radha and Krishna, whatever. So during, when they're having a celebration, they're offering a nice fragrance and they're offering wind and they're offering water and flower, nice little offering type. Like in Christians, Catholics have a mass, you know, offer a mass, you know. So they're doing this puja. Then they go, the person stands with a wooden mallet, a hammer, and he goes, dung, dung, dung. Or there's two guys and go, dung, 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 dung. You know, they swing the thing and they hit it all in rhythm. So they're each in different sizes. It goes, bong, dung, bong, dung, bong, dung. I mean, I'm 30 years living here. I lived 15 years in Vrindavan. There's not much gong, gong out here. But it's too costly, those things. And it's more a different system over here. That's more ritual and rules over there. This is a Ragmarg, and this is for meditation out here in Radhakund. So there are many big festivals and many things over there. Dong, 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 dong. I lived right inside a temple, right directly inside a temple for 3 years, not outside visiting. I lived inside Radha Damodar Temple, inside Srila Prabhupada's room for 3 years. 1989 to 1992, every single day and night. I was cleaning and cooking for Prabhupada and telling people about Prabhupada. So I heard a lot of gong gong. There's 7 artiks a day, 365 days a year, 3 years, 10,000 artiks. Dong, dong. I mean, I'm going to go to sleep. Dong, ding, dong, ding. I mean, I really rather like it.
You dreamed of it, yeah?
I dreamed of it. I can't help but dream of it. If you do something 10,000 times,
yeah.
I mean, like you have a wife, your wife cooks a few hundred times and she must be sometimes dreaming of cooking. You ever dream of cooking?
No.
You never dream of cooking?
No, my husband's cooking.
Really? Golly, you're really detached. You're really a yogi, you know. Your whole job is cooking and giving food, and you never dream. You dream about skiing in the Alps. Okay, maybe you want a relief from that. Okay, that's another thing, you know. But I myself dream just about Krishna. I remember when I was in San Francisco, because I joined in L.A. in 75, and then in 76 they transferred me there to be the Sankirtan leader, because they needed some up there, so they just, it's called transfer, relocation. So I went there, and from there I moved here and there. Stayed some years there, 75, 81, 6 years stayed there. So there we had Jagannath, main altar, and Radha Krishna. So when it was Rath Yatra time, I and two or three pujaris, we were in charge of the whole thing, painting Jagannath and the whole carts, and Jayananda was there building carts and other people helping. So I had many dreams of Jagannath. Because I just was day and night with Jagannath, planning and thinking Jagannath, Jagannath, Jagannath. So whatever you're absorbed in, then you dream of, you know. It's natural, especially when it's Krishna, because you like it. But maybe you're cooking, you don't like it, so you don't dream. So this is the point, the idea of Vrindavan. The question you asked indicates the sincerity of your purpose. And this is the whole bottom line of any endeavor. It's not the endeavor, it's the attitude. It's not the endeavor, it's the feeling. It's not the endeavor, it's the intention. The attitude, the intention, the feeling. Intention means the purpose. And attitude means your outlook, and your feeling is your bhav, your sense of love, your sense of harmony with your environment and others. Love is amorphous, and love is all-pervasive, and love contacts everything. Love contacts the mobile and immobile, immobile, and contacts the organic and inorganic, and living and non-living. Love is such that it can harmonize every aspect of one's being, by emanating love and realizing love and distributing love to the trees, to the earth, to the just the energy. When Prabhupada was on the planet, we sometimes sat in the room conversations in Mayapur, 1977, and two or three morning walks in L.A., Venice Beach, 76. With others, not alone, 10, 20, 30, like this, devotees. And one thing I noticed about Prabhupada, and other people remarked, but I directly saw, whenever he moved anything, he moved it as if it was Krishna, as if he's moving a murti. You know, like devotees, they take of some little deity of Krishna. They don't, okay. So I noticed that with him, that everything was, it was just like a continuous movement of bhakti. He's a bhakti vedant. So he had knowledge. He knew well, anta means end. And veda means what to know, what you can know. Veda means what can be known. To know the end of what can be known. Vedanta. To know the end or conclusion of what can be known is Vedanta. You got it? And bhakti. So it's a beautiful combination of not only mind, but mind and heart. And this is the perfect being. A beautiful combination of mind and heart. That's the humanity has that possibility. To have a mind and to have a heart. And to blend the two. To make harmonious presentation of pure devotion. So your sincerity is indicated by your question, and you came all the way here to the land of Krishna. It costs a lot of money. It's very inconvenient, and it's not very comfortable, especially for ladies, Western ladies. They find a little unfavorable environment here because of the mentalities of some of the immature people that are quite prevalent, since there are so many highly concentrated numbers of people. But that put aside, you're a seeker of the sweetness of God. That's bhakti. And you're a seeker of the love that its sweetness represents. And that's prema. And that's all what Vrindavan is about. I think it's very clear to me when I came here in 87, I'm not the same person that I was as I am now. And how has that happened? It's because of this imperceivable, all-pervasive effect of Brajadam. The energy, you know, they have terms ambience. It's the ambience, it's the energy of the place, it's the vibration, it's the memory, because maybe it's from bygone lifetimes, I can't say. But I've written lots of things about Vrindavan. I continue to write about Vrindavan because it's the most amazing enchantment and captivating experience I ever had in my life of 68 years. You're a good person, and you have devotion in your heart. Your Gurudev has planted a beautiful baby there, little baby's there, little plant is there, whatever analogy you want to use. Lord Chaitanya himself used the analogy of a baby plant. Little plant is bhakti. And little plant, it comes out, little green leaves, and pretty soon it grows, oh, it's a tree, and then it gets a trunk, and then it gets branches, and so many leaves, and gets so big. And pretty soon it's mangoes. Mango is a very nice tropical fruit, mango. We have lots in India. So mango is the sweetness of love. And that's what we're striving, we're made of that, and we're striving to fulfill what we're made of. We're trying to realize what we're made of. We're made of love when we surrender to Guru. Guru places love in the heart. Now we're made of love. Now we have to strive to realize that love and to express that love. So the answer, the attitude, that's why I said the attitude behind your question and your intention is good. It's humble, it's pure, it's sincere. So keep inquiring, keep praying, keep coming, keep visiting, and then Krishna will answer your question directly in your own heart. And that's how you'll really know. If I simply tell you, oh, this cake is so good, you know, it's really good. I put this in there and that, oh, it's so good. Okay, it's so good. Okay, great. How do I know? Well, you don't know. Okay, take some. Oh, it is so good. So you have to, that taste. That's individual. And that's perceivable. In other words, you have to go beyond the curtain. We started with the curtain analogy. The stage curtain is there. You just see, usually it's red, some kind of red or blue curtain. There's not too many choices in stage curtains. Stage curtain is, you know, some kind of navy, some kind of blue or red usually. And everyone's waiting. Another side, and then we just see that curtain is only two dimensions, length and width. And on the other side, the curtain is length and width, is long and it's wide and it's dead. It's dead matter. Maybe dirty curtain also. It's old theater, old drama theater. And curtains are costly. It's a big curtain, costs a lot of money. It's kind of tattered. It's kind of tattered on the end from opening and closing so much. A little dirty. But and you tell someone, Mommy, what's that? Well, that's a curtain. It's called a parda. Hindi, we say parda. That's a curtain. Oh, why is that there? What is it, something there? No. On the other side, what's there? Oh, there's three dimensions. There's not only three dimensions, there's four dimensions. Four dimensions? But I'm only seeing one dimension. Length and width is only one. Or two, you can say. No, you'll see length, you'll see width, you'll see depth, and you'll see consciousness. Ocho? Yeah. And then all that together, there'll be movement and the action and talk and speech and song and crying and laughing and act one and act two. Really? Nah, come on, I don't believe you. There's nothing back there. No, you have faith. You have to have faith in my words. There's a lot here in the Vrindavan behind the curtain. So you just wait. So then the stage manager comes out. So now we would like to show you our next drama performance will be Krishna Leela. This is Brajadam. Just our setting, you'll see a beautiful stage setting here. It's called Brajadam on the stage. And don't be shocked when you see this beautiful stage setting. You'll see a few pigs and you'll see a few dogs and a whole lot of monkeys. And and it'll be some state. We'll have a little temple set up there, like a little stage and some little tiny streets. And so this is a kind of represents a scene of a place called Vrindavan. So I hope everyone likes the drama. This is Act 1 called Discovering Vrindavan. So now the curtain opens up. Whoosh! My God, Mommy, who's that guy? He's blue. There's somebody blue in color, and he's got a feather on his head, and a bunch of them, and some kind of thing wrapped around his head. That's a turban. Oh, it's a turban. You know, and what's that he's playing? Looks like a flute. Yeah, he's playing flute. Hey, cool, man. And so you start watching the drama, and then that's what's the waiting behind the curtain. This is Leela Bhumi, and Leela's eternal, Nitya. I'm also Nitya. You're Nitya. Nitya means eternal. If I don't see Krishna today in Vrindavan, I'll see him tomorrow, guaranteed. I know I will. I'm convinced I will. If I don't see him tomorrow, I'll see him I'll see you next week, Krishna. Krishna, if you don't come the day after tomorrow, then I'm going to come and see you next week. I'm going to force you to show yourself to me. This is my conviction. And it's based on my experience. Because if you see the lady's hair behind the door blowing in the wind, you just see some hair blowing in the wind. And you say, what's that? You know, it looks like lady's hair. There's a good chance on the other side of that door that you can't see, on the other side of that hair, there's a lady. Because you have some indication. So when you stay in Vrindavan, then Krishna shows you, here's my toe, here's my footprint. I've seen Krishna's footprints. I can show you also. It's called Charan Bahari in Kamvan, Charan Bahari in Nandagan, Charan Bahari in Govardhan. It's Krishna's footprints. And I can also show you places where they can't show you. So you'll see the footprints. Oh, like the espionage. Oh, there's the footprints. Like the trappers in the jungle looking for animals. Oh, there's a footprint. Oh, what is it? Well, it looks like a dog. You stupid. It's not a dog. That's a bobcat. That's a leopard. That's a leopard. You know what a leopard is? Ah! He'll eat you up. Well, I thought it was a dog. You stupid. You silly, stupid jerk. This is a leopard. Oh, a show? Leopard? Where? It's a fresh print. It's fresh. Yeah. Well, let's get out of here. And say, oh, look at this one. What's that? Oh, that's big. What is that? That's a bear. Bear? God, it's so big. Yeah, you know, how big is that bear? Because he's on a safari. He doesn't know. He has a guide. Oh, that bear, he's just crawling on the ground. He's like 1 meter. Oh, okay, 1 meter. Oh, he just crawls. Okay, good. No, but he doesn't just crawl. Sometimes he stands up. And when a bear stands up, then he's 5 meters tall. Huh? 5 meters tall? Let's get out of here fast. So, humor aside, because there has to be some philosophy, there has to be some lila, and it has to be some humor. Then we can go in life nice. If it's only one, then this meal is not complete. You gave me rice and dal. You gave me soup and bread, but no salad, no juice, no smoothie, no ice cream. Ah, come on, you know. Yeah, ice cream is something, you know, a couple cherry sweet, cherry filled cream, you know, chocolates, you know, yeah, something. So this is the idea that we have to smooth everything out. You see, in the lives of our saints means the Chaitanya saints, followers of Lord Chaitanya and worshippers of Radha and Krishna. So our saints, they start in their devotion and they're doing so much deep devotions and deep experiences. And in the background of all their practices, in the background of all their experiences, in the background of all their hankerings and all their prayers, is that they're saying and they're crying in their heart, Krishna, please show yourself to me. Radharani, please show yourself to me. This is always going on. It's like when you're in the country, in your country in the winter, it's cold. You have what they call central heating. And it's always some engine, something, some arrangement is made, so always hot air is coming in your house. Otherwise, we die. It's too cold. It's in the background. It's arranged by the in charge of the apartment or whatever. It's going on, like you say, automatic. But it's always there. So always in the meditations, in the prayers, in the movements, in the moving here and there, and the thoughts and the dreams, and the final prayer before sleeping, because sleeping in the Vedas is called devastation, pralaya. So every day there's pralaya, and finally, which means devastation, our day destroyed, our day's activity destroyed. Now we go off into zero land, we can't recall the dream, or we have so many dreams, and we recall. There's a whole new dream world when we sleep. So that's called devastation. Then we wake up anew, a new life begins, a new day begins. That's called the shisti. Then finally we die, then again we wake up in a new womb, in a new womb of some lady or wherever, and become born again, and go on. So this desire to see Krishna, to see beyond the veil, it starts with a new devotee and it goes to the siddha saint. It starts with a new devotee, desiring, hankering, praying, wondering how, when, why, where are you? You say your pastimes are here. I came twice. I came three times. I came five times. I came in 77. I came in 80. I came in 81. 81, I came three times. Dindya, Vrindavan. 82, twice. 83, twice. 84, twice. 85, twice. 86, twice. 87, twice. And that's nice. And that's it. No coming, no going, only coming. So every time I'm coming, I say I have to go back for more. Once a year was good in 77. I didn't have any money until 1980. Then I came, and then after that, Krishna arranged everything very nicely. So we came not only once, but twice a year and stay for 2 months each time. Two and a half. So for many years, I was staying 5 months, 6 months a year in India, Vrindavan. And finally, I was like, I became like a Vrindavan addict. That I would go, and as soon as I leave the Vrindavan, oh, I want to go back. Even I'm on the plane, I haven't touched New York. I have to go back. What I'm missing, I don't know. Why I want to go back, I don't know. But I never felt this way about anybody or any place in the whole world. Of all the experiences that each and every one of us have, we all. So this is my, I can share my experience. And this is a good footing to start off with, that I want to see beyond the cover. I want to see beyond the dirt. I want to see the real Vrindavan, the real Radhakund. And just, you have that desire today, and you keep that desire tomorrow, and on and on. I have it, I had it when I was 5 years old. And now I'm 68, and I still have the same desire. I want to see God. Simple, straight, honest. It's desire that drives one on. There's even psychological diseases where one has a lack of desire. They lack the desire to live. It's called ennui. Ennui in French or something like that. Can we happen that a young child can have a desire? I don't want to live. It's very common now, actually more common now than my time. But these old psychiatric problems. It's desire that drives us on. So someday, your heart is pure, your attitude is good, you're sincere, you're young, you're hardworking, you're dedicated, you love your husband, he loves you. That's very beautiful and very fortunate. And you're trying to worship Krishna. I'm trying. So Krishna is like, he's God, but forget about God, he's the Father. Forget about Father, he's my friend. Forget about friend, he's my lover. He's my everything. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has one song, he says, Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Pranadan, Shradavan Janahe, Shradavan Janahe. Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Pranadan. This is not my language, nor your language. It's like singing an Italian song or something. You would know a German song, I suppose. I'm sorry, I don't know. But this is some little Bengali song. He said, Krishna's my mother, Krishna's my father, and Krishna's the life of my life. He's the wealth of my life. He's the treasure. He's all I have. Krishna Pranadhan. Dan means my dan. We say give a donation, dan. So dan and dan. Dan means treasure, wealth, possession. Pranadhan. Prana, everyone knows prana, pranayama and all this yoga. So prana means the wealth of my prana is Krishna. He's the life of my life is Krishna. Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Pranadana. Then he says, Shradavan Jana Hey. He says, hey people, Jana. Hey Jana, hey people. Do you have faith? Do you have faith in your hand? Van means to hold, to have, to possess. Van. Possess Shraddha. Shraddha means faith, vishwas, belief. We say, I believe in God. Why? I don't know why I believe. Oh, but that's blind faith. That's unreasonable. Whatever. Whatever it is, it's my treasure. Do you believe in God? No. Okay, well, you seem miserable, and you don't believe in God. And I don't know why I believe, but I believe, and I feel better than you. two arguments with two simple people. Obviously, rational, intelligent, intellectual people want to know all kinds of details. So in our Goswami writings, they explain this is called, there's two ways to look at God, called Ruchi Pradhan or Vichar Pradhan. Pradhan means It's interesting because Sanskrit words and English words are very, very many the same. Like we say vocal. You know, do you know English? Voice and vocal. Well, the word for vocal or voice in Sanskrit is vach. We say uvacha, Sri Bhagavan vacha. So vach is from millions of years. Vach over time becomes vach, you know, Latin. Latin from Sanskrit to Latin to Spanish to German and all these ancient languages. So very similar. This. So we say ruchi pradan, vichar pradan. Pradan means, the word pradan means predominated by. So pradan means predominated in English. Predominated means influenced by or controlled by the most. Predominate, the major control of something, it's a predominator, right? This is what it means. So pradan means the main factor of why people approach God is because of ruchi. Ruchi means taste, belief. I feel good about God. I know God's there for me. Very simple people, they'll say, I believe in God. God is there. Is he a person? Is he not a person? I think he's a person. I'm a person. He must be a person. I'm a little person. He's a big person. I believe in God. I have this faith. I believe. And then when they come to know that he's a person and he's beautiful, he plays a flute and all these things, then they have even more liking and more attraction. Oh, it's so beautiful, and he's so clever and so funny, and he loves his friends, and he plays with them, and he serves them, and they serve him. He's a very sweet God, and very friendly and playful God, very playful God. So that's called ruchi pradhan. Your approach to God, your approach to bhakti is based on just an inherent and organic liking. I just like. I'm attracted. I like this person. Oh, but why? You know, he's blue. It just doesn't make sense. And I mean, you talk somewhere else. I don't care. I don't need all this stuff. You figure all that. That's your problem. I like him, and that's that. That's ruchi. Then vichar pradhan is, well, you know, this sannyasi says this about God, and this says that, and I think it's like this, and Carl Jung says this, and Freud says this, and, you know, Bhagavad Gita says this, and it can be, I know it can be like this and like that. So that's called vichar, that he's predominating, he has intellectual consideration. His main drive is understanding everything very reasonably and logically. But the people that usually, that's also, these are two paths. Jiva Goswami says, two paths to approach God. But the ruchi pradhan has more of an advantage, because if the ruchi pradhan gets training from proper guru and gets proper knowledge, then he gets so attached, because his approach to God is based on a heart's attachment. Whereas the intellectual, we had one brilliant guy here a few years ago. He's from Finland, and now he became a Buddhist because he was very intellectual. So he got right into it. He got Siddha Pranali, he got everything from one of the famous gurus here. And then somehow his intellect was so great. No, but how is it possible that you can, by meditation, you can create a spiritual body? And he started, and then he said, Dad, this. Then he went from Krishna, having the most intimate personal relationship with Krishna, went to Buddhism. Now he's a big voice in the Western world preaching Buddhism, because a very powerful kind of person. But he left this whole thing and left his guru, and of course we don't consider that very auspicious from our viewpoint to denounce the guru. So, because too much intellect. So that's why I said it's a blend of mind and heart. So I hope that Radharani and Vrishadam, God is not cheap. God is not just showing ashes in his hand or whatever. God is invisible reality beyond the cover. So he doesn't show himself very easily. How many times have you met the prime minister or president of the country? Probably not too many times. Maybe zero. So it would take a lot of arrangements and a lot of connections and a lot of good deeds if you became some superhero or some super scientist of Germany or some super creator. Then you may be awarded some special prize and even an opportunity to meet for one minute or so with the prime minister. I think you can understand. So if it's that difficult to meet a person of this world, what to speak of meet the person behind the whole world? And it's not the person behind the whole world meeting him at work. There's many men you can meet at work, but you don't even know where they live. I know this is his office. This is his name. He's there 9 to 5. Where does he live? We can't tell. He has a private residence. He lives in the country, and we don't tell anybody where he lives. No, you don't know where he lives. So when you come to Vrindavan, it's not the office of God. It's the playground of God. It's impossible to meet a big man in his office, practically. And maybe with an appointment and with the right connections and qualifications, you can meet that big businessman. But if you want to meet him privately in his estate with 100 guards and all kinds of security, and who are you, and get lost, you know. It's not a public office building, public office building in Berlin or something. So now you come to the private playground of Krishna in his most intimate, personal, sweet, loving form of God, and he's gonna camouflage himself. Like the soldiers, they go in the war, they put on a green and brown outfit. They used to wear green, and there he is, boom, boom. And they found out, green outfit's not good. In World War II, they wore green. And then in Vietnam War, they said, no, you have to put green and brown and spots and stuff like that. Be like a deer, be like a tiger, all spots. Then you can go in and sneak. So they developed their uniform. Because they want to be more camouflaged. You know, camouflage means hiding, concealed, not visible, not discoverable. So how much camouflage Krishna must have? Let's see, I don't want people to bother me here. I don't want people to come disturb me over here. So what should I do? This is such a beautiful place, and I'm having such beautiful leelas here with the gopis. But if everyone just comes here, they see beautiful rivers everywhere and beautiful fresh water and waterfalls. That's Vrindavan's nice place, man. It's like a second Kulu Manali, you know. When you get tired of Kulu Manali, you go down to Vrindavan, hang out, man. It's got this fantastic. There's this one lake up in the mountains here, up on the top of Giraj. We all go swimming up there, you know, and party. It's great, you know. You can drink the water. This is not Kulu Valley. This is not Goa. You know, go ride the waves and enjoy the coconut juice and stuff. You know. This is a special Leela Bhumi. So Krishna, he wants to screen who's eligible to enter who's eligible to see the show. Who's eligible? I'll open the curtain. It's called Naham Prakashya Sarvasya Lokamaya Samamrita. It's in the 7th chapter of Gita, verse 25. 7:25. He says, I am always covered. I'm covered by my yoga maya. Krishna's one maya, yoga maya, but sometimes it acts as mahamaya. So I'm covered by yoga maya, covers us, and that's called the maha yoga maya. And then the yoga maya uncovers us. So Krishna will say, Krishna says, okay, I'm going to put a bunch of pigs all over the place and have open sewers everywhere. Right outside my boundary wall, I have a beautiful garden here. You go on the roof, look outside the boundary wall, there's a cesspool. You know, cesspool is all stool from the whole village because it's all a hill, and this is the low place, and then finally it goes from here. All just outside my wall. What to do? Inside, this is the kunja. This is a kunja. Krishna Leela is here, very beautiful. Just outside, just on the other side of the wall. Stinking at night, everything. So what? So you have to transcend. So that's there, and then the people, and everyone wants your money, and everyone wants to cheat you, everyone wants your donation, and it's too hot, too cold, and I get too much chilies, my belly's sore, my stomach. And there's so many things happen here. It's all a test. It's all a test. So if you get through all that, then Krishna says, all right, I'll show you. So that's why the saints, they have that faith, they have that confidence, because many, many sadhus and many, many sadvis, sadvis means female spiritual person, sadvi or sadhu, they have come here because they've heard and they've read the histories. So-and-so was in South India, and so-and-so was in North India, and so-and-so, then they went to the land of Vrindavan, and they did bhajan, and they saw Krishna. And they saw Radharani, and they had experiences. I read myself. This is a magical land. It's a transcendental land. So allured by that enchantment, and allured by that promise of a special thing, what I wanted my whole life, they say you can find it here. what I wanted, what I was looking for my whole life and praying for. I was raised a Catholic. My father taught me every night I had to kneel down. He would force me to. I had to kneel down beside my bed and pray. And he had to tell me. I said, okay, what do I do now? He said, yeah, you should pray this and that. And he'd tell me all these things to pray for. And it was all nice things. Pray for benefit of everyone, basically. And hardly anything of myself. And many nice teachings. And I was raised that way. And in that very much dependent, prayerful mood of a Catholic-type Christian. And I appreciate that. And I my good fortune that my father was a kirtan man. He sang in the church, what we call kirtan. He sang in the church choir. He sang baritone. Baritone is so deep that I can't even imagine how deep it is. It's really deep. Ho, 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 ho. I used to mock him and make fun. But he's actually, you know, a man. You know, he's a full deep voice. You know, he's big. I was kind of like the little three brothers. I was a small one. Midget. Where is God? I want to see God. I was an altar boy sometimes, helping the priest when they have the mass. There's something called mass. They have incense and holy water and little wafers and all these things, body of Jesus. All these rituals they do. A lot of incense, a lot of frankincense and myrrh and ghee lamps and candles and all kinds. It's almost like there's an easy transmission. You know, it's like a seamless transfer from Roman Catholicism to Hinduism with all the artiques and candles and all these kind of things. So I would ask the priest that I was working with, I said, you know, I really want to see God. You know what he looks like? He said, no, you have to experience that. No one, we can't write about that. We don't have anything to say about that. So then I came this side, and not only are they describing, and they have paintings of God. And God's on a swing. God's swimming. God's playing the flute. God's having a feast. God's climbing a tree. God's jumping in after monkeys into the water. God's pulling the tail of a monkey, which I'll never do. I'll get my head bit off. Those monkeys are more peaceful then. He's feeding the monkeys. God's stealing yogurt, taking a big clay pot, running out of the back of the house behind a big tree, and starts eating it with his friends, feeding everybody. The monkeys are looking down like they always do. As soon as you get some food, the monkeys all look at you. They're all looking at you, and they're watching you. What about us, you know? So then you throw them something, okay. So then all the monkeys are in the tree, and the boys are under there, and they go, hop, 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 hop. And Krishna, oh, those guys, okay, ow, ow, ow. So the monkeys come down, and he starts giving them too. You know, Krishna's personally feeding the monkeys. Do you believe that? This is the God we worship. This is the Krishna we worship. We're crazy about this guy. So he's eating the yogurt, and he's feeding to the monkeys. Such a Krishna. Again, my priest in the Catholic Church in 1957, can he tell me about that? Do you know God? Father, can you tell me about God? Yeah. When God was little, he used to go in people's houses and catch their big pot of yogurt and run away with it. He stole? He's a thief? Yeah. Well, what did he do then? He just ate it? No, he ate it, but he shared it with his friends. Oh, that's nice. And also the monkeys. Monkeys? I saw in the zoo some monkeys. He plays with monkeys? Yeah, they're all over the place. If you go to Vrindavan, you'll see. Even today, you'll see there are monkeys all over the place.